you have your Bible, you may turn it to the second reading that we had from Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, verse 19 to 23. But we'll look at verse 25. Verse 25 all the way to 30. I bring greetings from Steinway Evangelical Church, where I serve as one of the ministers there. We are two of us, and we send our love. Last week, we had Eric, I think, from Steinway Evangelical Church. He's our, our former pastor, who's still there and working with us. God has been gracious to us in the way that is working with us as a church. We do see new people come in and who join us, and they stay. And we've known in the past few years, just before lockdown, we have a mighty revival in a small way at church, where we're averaging around 100 plus in attendance. God is good. But we are trusting and praying for you as we pray for ourselves. We put prayer as a center of everything that we do at Steinway. You know, everything revolves and moves around prayer. And it has been the hallmark and the focus of our ministry there. So I bring my greetings from them. I thought I would look at this passage in particular, purely because we live in the world where self dominates everything we do. We live in a world where the idea of individualism, the idea of me, is all that matters. In the world, people will do anything to promote their fame, their reputation, their celebrity status. TikTok, you name it, is there to drive the self-image about me. Look at me. I'm important. I'm special. And this is what I bring to the world. We live in the world where we have less people who are selfless. Less people who are given to save others. Less people who sacrifice their time, their resources for the sake of the other. COP26 is an example happening in Glasgow today, where the leaders of the world are trying to negotiate the terms of slowing down global warming. And none of them are willing to give up their wealth, their resources. Some people never turned up to the meeting because they don't want to give up. They want someone else to do it, but not them. And I thought perhaps today this passage is very important, as it was when it was written. Before us is a man called Epaphroditus, and we read in the Bible about his description, the way he's depicted in verse 25. I send to you someone I cherish. He is a true brother, co-worker, fellow soldier, and a messenger. Four things that describes Epaphroditus. Number one is that he is a brother, not a friend. He's more than a friend. He is a brother because of Jesus. And that is important. He is a brother because of what Jesus has done in his life. And remember, even at this time, the church saw some divisions in terms of politics, political, racial, and ethnic. We know that the Gentiles and the Jews were having problems together. Even when they were Gentiles were saved and they were born again, they were still rejected by some sections of the Jews because they were not circumcised. And Paul is saying, Epaphroditus, who is a Philippians, Epaphroditus is a young man who was born and bred in Philippi and in the Philippian church. And the Apostle Paul sends him back to them. We'll find out the reason why. The church sometimes can be very cliquey. The church sometimes can be tribal. And because of this tribalism in church, disturbs other people from coming in. People don't feel welcome when they come in. People don't feel part and parcel of the church because we've become so tribal that we only hang around with the people that we know, we love. And the other people, we don't. We shake them with their hands and we smile at them. That's all we give them. Nothing deeper about our Christian faith and relationship. The wholeness of our Christian life and relationship sometimes baffles me. You know, you and I, that if you have got a brother, it's far much deeper than just shaking a hand, hello, how are you? You know that. It's the same thing at a spiritual level. These saints you see today, you live with them in heaven if you believe in them. Sometimes the idea of heaven is so distant from us that the whole idea is like a fantasy, and then the experience of that idea in the here and now is not real. We need to stay within the teachings of the scripture. My true brother. He was willing to die for Paul. That's how deep this relationship was. It wasn't a relationship of blood or human blood. It was a relationship founded on the gospel. And he was willing, as you see in the scripture, to die for him. We have to create, brethren, a place where people feel welcome. We need these doors that are closed to be open literally, so that people can walk in, and those that walk in, they feel welcome. They want to come back and stay and be with us. The second thing that the Apostle Paul mentions about Epaphroditus is found there. Call work. He wasn't just a brother who was saved, and that was it. That was good enough for him. He wasn't just a good Christian, was he? But he was a good Christian worker. That's the difference. He's gone about doing the work of God, risking his own life. He was ill, nearly died in the process of ministry. He labored for the church at Philippi, willing to give his time and resources for the sake of the gospel. He was a man who shared the burdens of his friends. I wonder whether we are those people who are working for God in this place. If perhaps you ask yourself a question, what exactly are you doing for God here? Apart from being a good Christian here, what else are we doing for God? Galatians chapter 6 and verse 2. Galatians 6 and verse 2. Says this, share each other's burdens. In this way, obey the law of Christ. Galatians 6, verse 2. The Apostle Paul says it very clearly. Share each other's burdens. In this way, you fulfill the law of Christ. Look at verse 3. It's even better, isn't it? If you think you are too important to help someone, you are only fooling yourself. You are not that important. Share one another's burdens. What does it mean? When you hear that your brother is not well, or your sister is not well, do you go out of the way to do something to make a difference for them? I remember when I was very ill recently, the summer holidays with COVID-19. Two vaccines, AZ, as we call it, AstraZeneca, but I still caught it. And it was very, very bad. But we prayed, and people were praying for me. I wasn't rushed to the hospital, but my breath was terribly, low, breathless most of the time. But someone delivered a present to me. They had wrapped a nice gift. It's nice goodies in it. And no name. Up to now, I don't know who gave me that. Within there were fruits and different things just for my, to make me feel happy, just to put a smile on my face. And I tell you, even though if you look at what they bought, it wasn't that expensive. But just the thought that somebody took time to think about me and buy this nice present, just nice goodies in it, around 10 pounds, you think it's not bad, or less than that, but the thought was so important. Bearing one another's burden. You know, one thing you learn as you live your Christian life, and as we work with God's people in church, what we begin to see is that each one of us have got different problems that we are dealing with. It's only that some other people's problems are louder than the others. And that's what we get to hear about them. But ideally, if we have got a family, families have issues. That's how we live together. But bear one another's burden. Go there, talk to them. Pick up a phone, call somebody who is not here today. Work hard for this church. This is your calling. We shouldn't be self-centered. We have to be selfless. And that's the message we have in this passage. Look again what he talks about, our fellow soldier. Our fellow soldier. For us to understand this, go back to chapter 1 of Philippians and verse 27. Philippians chapter 1, verse 27, to understand that. It says this, Philippians 1, 27. Above all, you must live as citizens of heaven, conducting yourselves in a manner worthy of the good news about Christ. Then, whether I come and see you again, or only hear about you, I'll know that you are standing with one spirit and one purpose, fighting together for the faith, which is the good news. So, our brother is a fellow soldier. What is he doing? Is fighting together with Apostle Paul for the truth or for the sake of the gospel. So he's making sure that heresies are kicked out of the church at Philippi. He's a man who is involved in a spiritual warfare. He knows Epaphroditus. That we don't wage war against flesh and blood. He knows that he needs to put on the full armor of God. He knows that this battle can be won only when we pray and ask God to intervene. He knows that people come in the church when we ask God and we give him no rest until he establishes this church as a place where he dwells. That's where we should be, church. We have to be excited for the gospel and defend it to its core. We live in a time where people want to dilute the gospel and the word of God. You and I know that. They call us names when you say, this is what the Bible says. They tell us you are narrow. You're so fundamentalist. You're so extreme. That we are called to fight the fight of faith, to contend this faith which was once entrusted to us. And then he goes on in verse 26 again. He talks about our brother So in the same verse, 26, that just above that, he is your messenger to help me in my need. So he is the messenger to help the apostle Paul in his needs. Verse 26. I'm sending him back because he was longing to see you and he was very distressed that you heard he was ill. You know, I like this brother. I wish I could have met him. You know, there's something about him that just makes me feel like I wish I had time just to see Epaphroditus and say, well, that was a visit to Paul when he was in Rome. It's because if you look at verse 26, he was very distressed that you heard about him being ill. You didn't want him to worry about him. But we know the reasons why he was sent is in chapter 4, at the end of chapter 4. We know the reasons why. Chapter 4 explains it, verse 10, onwards, that the apostle Paul gives us the reasons. He says that how I praise the Lord that you are concerned about me again. I know that you've always been concerned for me, but you didn't have the chance to help me. So now they had a chance to help him by sending Epaphroditus to go and visit Paul because he needed financial support. That's all there is. He needed material support. That's why you see in verse 11. Not that I was ever in need, for I've learned how to be content with whatever I have. I know how to live on almost nothing or with everything. I've learned the secret of living with every situation, whether it is with full stomach or empty, or with plenty or little. For I can do all things through Christ. Even so, you've done well to share with me in my present difficulty. And there you have it. Our brother goes there to help and minister to Paul. The church sent him to Paul to serve him and to care on their behalf. So he went there as a messenger to take the word, as a minister to go and care and support the apostle Paul. And you know one thing, this is the only church in the entire Bible where the Apostle Paul accepts the material gifts. Everywhere else, he was making a tent to make his living. Everywhere else, he was self-sufficient. This is a church that the Apostle Paul loves, but there is no rebuke in this letter. There isn't. He loves the church at Philippi. He adores the church, and they love him as well. It's the most glorious letter for you to study and see the affectionate, the love, the care for each other, the support for one another. On the spiritual, on the material, on the emotional part, all these areas. So his desire, really, we look at his description. Now, when we look at the desire of Epaphroditus, he wanted to go back. Verse 26, the one I've read. He was very, very lonely. But he was more than that. He was homesick. He wanted to go back home. For he longed after all and was full of heaviness. And he wanted to return to be with his church and his family. He longed after his church. He was away from them for a long time, and he missed them so dearly. How much do we miss our church when we are not with each other? How much? Or we always want just to get out as soon as possible. when Sunday service finishes, that we long for our fellowship and we long for each other. This brother was very, very caring. I send him back. He has been longing to see you. I've been longing to see you. And then he goes back to the church where he came from. But more importantly, as we look at his self-denial in verse 27, you were certainly, and he certainly was ill. In fact, he was almost dead. That's what the Bible, he almost died. But God had mercy on him, but also on me, that I may not have one sorrow after another. Selfless love. And that's why we read, remember in the gospel, I ask us to read Luke chapter 9, and where the Lord Jesus Christ says this way, is that he said, if anyone will come after me, let him deny himself and take up the cross and follow me. And this man, we are told, he nearly died serving God. He never cared about himself. How much of the sacrifice do you make for this church? In terms of time. Coming to church morning and evening. Praying in your own time for this church. How much do you sacrifice financially for this church? Supporting the church financially. How much do you sacrifice materially for this church? Helping out other members of this church, giving them things, material support, and going up and about, working for God and caring for one another. How much of your life is invested in this church? As we finish, I want to draw attention to verse 29 and 30. For the Spirit of God, he says this, welcome him in the Lord's love with great joy. Give him the honor that people like him deserve. For he risked his life for the work of Christ. And he was at the point of death while doing for me what he couldn't do far away. Three things as we close in application. Joyful reception. Verse 29. Receive him in the Lord with what? Great joy. When he returns. Don't feel sorry for him. No. Rejoice with the brother that he's been up and about serving God. Joy and rejoicing is a hard thing. Great joy. And how we would that you would receive each other with great joy. When you've missed a brother or sister, they come back. Don't depress them. No. Receive them as we are told here, in the Lord's love, with great joy. We can only do it because it's in the Lord. We can't do it in ourselves. But by the power of the Holy Spirit, by the fact that we are in the Lord and He's given us the resources, so we'll be able to receive one another with great joy, not just joy. So there is a place, brethren, for rejoicing in church. There is such a thing. A church is not for sorrowful worship. Yes, there is that, because lamentation is part of worship, as the Psalms are. But also, there is joy when we see our brother is back. He has been missed for weeks. Let's embrace him with so much joy. These things are real. The second thing, he says, honor those that do this work. And give him the honor that people like him deserve. Ministers, pastors who serve you, they deserve to be honored and respected. These men have given up their time for the ministry. They could have gone away and sat all day, watch TV. They don't. They study the word so that they can come back on Sunday and feed you. They don't do most of the stuff people do because they have given up that in order to pray for the church, to read and study, to pastor the church, to visit the flock. They have given up their lives for the gospel. Honor these men. And lastly, he says this, for he risked his life. Why did he do that? Because he cared for Paul. Caring is so important, brethren. Let's care for one another. We know how important in social work, caring. We know that. Residential homes, in nursing homes, carers, how they have become so important. And nurses, they care for us. How caring is such a crucial part of who we are. And COVID-19 showed us that. That the jobs we thought were less important, actually they're the most important jobs in our community. And the ones we thought they were important, actually we don't even need them. Caring is important. Firstly, as I close, care for yourself. Look after yourself. Care for one another, for each other. Your wife and husband, care and support each other. And then we care for the church and God's people. We shall close by singing hymn number 666.